So I'm Ike. I'm just wanted to give a short, maybe cautionary tale about my adventures using OSC to control Ardour with a MIDI keyboard. So starting with the culprit or why I'm doing this, I wanted to have a MIDI keyboard capable of Aftertouch for a long time, and then I saw that those things are on sale. This is a Native Instruments Complete Control keyboard. And well, this, the normal selling point for those have MIDI controls and two displays, and Native Instruments has this software integration where they basically allow you to control various audio generation plugins, software, DAWs directly from your device. So you can just, you get no distractions. You don't have to switch from your MIDI keyboard to your computer when you're doing audio stuff. That's the normal selling point. The selling point for me for this device was that somebody already reverse engineered this one. Of course, they only support software they care about, which basically means proprietary software. And when we have the reverse engineer protocol, maybe you can do stuff ourselves with that. So that's the setup. Previous efforts for reverse engineering can be found by the project named Q-Control. Basically, what you can do is over USB, you configure the MIDI part of this device, then it speaks MIDI by itself. You have some buttons here. You have these buttons which do MIDI stuff. Mod wheel, pitch wheel, and there's also a touch strip mod thing. And the point is, all the other buttons on this device are just USB HID devices. So it's like a USB keyboard, basically. And the display just accepts image data. This means all the logic that Native Instruments builds is contained in their driver, which means the protocol it speaks to the keyboard over USB is pretty simple. So we can actually reverse engineer it and build ourselves our own stuff with it. So this is the idea. That's what I wanted to do. And write a simple program that can do stuff with the keyboard. So for a first demo, I've started some project, and I have, this project Q-Control allows you to configure the MIDI part of the keyboard on host PC software. I wrote a simple tool that renders a GUI on the keyboards itself, so you can configure this on the keyboard itself. What I have is this debug window, which basically, for now, ignore Ardour in the background. We will need this for the later demo. The debug window just basically mirrors what is shown on the display on the device itself. So, maybe I can just sort of lift the keyboard up so you can see better. Like this, I think. Whoa, it stands up on itself, on its own anyway. Okay, so. So basically, I have this setup screen where you can configure the MIDI functions. Yeah, I mean, you can configure MIDI channels and all the other features this MIDI keyboard brings with itself. So I can change the color of the key LEDs and all these playground stuff, basically. And so, yeah, just a simple config screen for this keyboard so you can configure it on the keyboard itself. So To reiterate, all this software, all this logic runs on my computer, and it just sends display data to the keyboard and reads the button input. So, then next step, okay, Native Instruments have this cool software that you can control your DAW from it, and I want that too. But of course, for software that I use, which is mostly open source software, so I want to control Ardua. That's what I tried. And then you look into it, how can you control Ardua? Well, there's a lot of control surfaces, as they are called in Ardua. You can do MIDI, there are some proprietary protocols. But I want a more or less simple protocol. I wanted features, so that disqualifies MIDI. And yeah, open source, so the, I don't know, it supports a Mackie protocol, and I think there's a Prisonus protocol and some others. But for this feature set, okay, let's use OSC. What is OSC? Hands up, who knows what OSC is? That is not everyone, okay. Basically, for some time, people went around calling it MIDI 2.0, which is at least since 3 years outdated, because the MIDI Association actually published MIDI 2.0, so MIDI 2.0 is MIDI 2.0 and OSC is OSC. But the feature set somehow diverges. So what you get from OSC is more data types. So you, for example, you have strings. Yeah, your DAW can communicate to your device like the session name or the name of a track or something like this, which you can't do really great over MIDI. There are more control channels, if you will. OSC actually uses a path structure, so like files on a Linux system, where basically for every path you have an endpoint and you can take any you like, so you're pretty much unlimited in the number of things you can control. And you have timestamping, which is actually really nice, so you can, for example, send a whole pack of messages in one go, tell them this. These messages are to be executed at some point in the future, and then the whole bundle of things you want to change, for example, 10, 20 parameters of your synthesizer plugin, the whole software can do at once, so in a single time step, which is for some applications really useful. And although, owing to the fact that OSC uses these path-like structures for their control endpoints, it uses more data. It usually also is run on Ethernet, IP, usually on UDP. So in most cases, you have more bandwidth available. So in the net, you mostly gain available bandwidth. The problem with OSC is there is no really a given usage standard. There have been plans to propose something, but this hasn't really seen widespread adoption, which I think this may be what actually stops OSC from being adopted quite far. I think Niels actually phrased this like, OSC is like MIDI, but only SysX, so there are no standardized endpoints you can send messages to. And well, owing to that, basically you have to configure every client that you use with every other software that you use. There's no standard in the control endpoints you use. Also, there are limitations on every client. Like you can do something like, for a specific endpoint, send multiple parameters. So what Ardua basically, for example, does, it has an endpoint that says, okay, set the volume level of a single track. And it accepts the number of the track in the list and the volume level you want to set it to. But a lot of software only supports one parameter per endpoint. So what Ardua also supports is that you can say like set the audio channel for endpoint numbers for track number something, in addition to the general endpoint. And this doubles, of course you have to send the data back in the same way, and this doubles all the code, which makes it it seems like at least a mild pain to support OSC in the wild. So we are hoping that this standard for naming paths gains more adoption. But we are so far in time now that this also breaks, obviously, old conventions. So old conventions of every single software that uses OSC. So widespread adoption in the near future seems unlikely. So things you can do with OSC and Ardua is, well, you can get session names, you can read out the tracks, you can listen for value changes, so you get feedback from that. You can send volumes, set volumes of tracks, you can change plugin parameters, you can start, stop recording, you can walk through the time, you can seek in the time frame. So you can actually do pretty pretty many of things. And what I started with was, yeah, at least take the mixer standpoint. So changing volume controls of an Ardua session. And this is my test session. This is just a mostly empty Ardua project with just 10 empty audio tracks. And if I go to my keyboard and change into the Ardua screen, I have a representation of all these mixer strips, and I can just, yeah, more or less, just turn these knobs and watch the faders move in Ardua. Yeah, you see this. This works actually pretty nice, and it also has the back channel, so. I should be able to, if my mouse works. Ah, see, I can change the volumes in Ardua itself, and it updates this on the device GUI. So, I mean, this works. So, what am I complaining about? Well, the problem is when you are querying Ardua, at the start you have to specify what data you're interested in, and so the initial state is what gets sent to you when you query for the first time, all in one go. This is for this session with 10 empty tracks, and only regarding this audio data, around 1,100 messages, which net to about 400 kilobyte of net data. Then you have to add headers, and what I learned is that by default on a Linux system, and I did a survey about systems I had access to, this is pretty much the adopted standard. By default, you have a maximum of 200 kilobytes of network buffer data, which these 1,100 messages actually managed to fill up.
Is that a typo? Because you said 400?
40? It's 40 kilobytes of net data. This is just UDP package contents.
Okay,
plus metadata headers, this is what fills up the buffers, so you get the 200 kilobyte of buffer overflow. And so even when I'm sending this data just on my machine from one process to the another, this buffer fills up, Linux drops the rest of the packets, and I have packet loss. So some messages don't get delivered. And I mean, this is the old thing with real-time data. You say, okay, we need low latency, so most of the time we can't really, it makes no sense to send data again if it didn't receive it. Which is, okay, I mean, fine. If you have real-time data like I don't know, what you get in this case is, for example, level meters in Ardour for every track. If you if one of those packets drops, it's not a deal. You'll get one, I don't know, a tenth of a second later, and this is just GUI. The user will see the new value. There's not really much lost. But when, I don't know, you delete a track in Ardour, and your device doesn't get this, that's a problem. And this is a desync that just stays there. And there is really nothing you can do about that. You can just keep querying every second, so it fixes itself finally after a second or something. Yeah. Another thing is, okay, what I have done here, which is why this demo just worked, you can increase the buffer size. This is my last slide. You can increase the buffer size, which is not really user-friendly because that's a kernel parameter. You need root privilege to do that. You can use a simpler interface, okay. Let Ardour manage the data. So you can tell Ardour to just send you only a subset of strips. But this is not really what I want. I want to have reliable data and as much as I can get, so I can somehow work it into the GUI. So, in consequence, probably OSC is the wrong tool for the job in this case, because it just does not have reliable message delivery. There may be workarounds you can do in the protocol to design it better, but that's not my job to do, basically. So, yeah, this is just the cautionary tale of what things can go wrong when using OSC. So be mindful of that if you do that. I mean, you have the same things on MIDI. Basically, you could lose MIDI messages. It all depends on the amount of data you send. So there are the reasons why it works for MIDI quite well, but yeah. So in conclusion, this is my demo code. I posted it to GitHub if anyone is interested. There is also documentation of the reverse engineering or the messages on the USB side. And because I don't really have any useful demos, one thing I can show you is for a final demo, at least Knight Rider on the above display buttons. And of course, Knight Rider on the keyboard LEDs. And Knight Rider on the touch strip. And of course, Knight Rider on the display. Thank you.